Good morning.
Good morning.
I go running in. I see the kids go running out. I wonder what's going on. Welcome to worship, everybody here in person, watching live online or on our catch-up service during the week. Welcome to worship, everyone here at Kemeny Parish Church. It's always a joy to gather together as God's people. Just a few intimations to share at the start of our time. As we may be aware, over the summer, every Tuesday night, we've had the youth bus come and be at Ale House Wells from 7 to 9 p.m. And every Tuesday. And this Tuesday, the 14th, is the last Tuesday that the youth bus will be in our village for the summer holidays. And if you've been along to help out before, you know how much fun it is to build relationship with our young people. If you haven't been yet, then please do consider talking to Suzanne about coming along to this Tuesday night's youth bus from 7 to 9 p.m. down at Ale House Wells. We've also been making it known the last several weeks that in late October, early November, we'll be leading a pilgrimage to the Iona community. And we have a total availability of 14 spots, 13 of which have been filled. Is that correct, Kylie? So there's one more spot available to join us for Iona. The cost per person we estimate to be £180, and that is all inclusive for the cost. So if you're interested or inclined to come along, we have one spot left. If you're interested, please do speak with Kylie about that. Been asked to intimate as well, we've seen it up on the screen in the rolling announcements, announcement about Keith Hall Church, one of the churches within our presbytery. The hard but necessary decision has been made to close Keith Hall Church, and there'll be a Songs of Praise, a final service, to mark the closure of the building on the 26th of August at 6:30 p.m., and everyone is welcome to come along and show support for that faith community. And also, this last week here in Kemeny, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this last week, we had our holiday Bible club, which was a huge success. It was great fun to see how many kids got involved and how many adult volunteers as well. So I would like to say a huge word of thanks to everyone who helped out to make our holiday Bible club such a great success, including some of our friends from Kintore Parish Church. And as it stands, this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, Kintore will be doing their holiday Bible club. So if anyone from here is interested in helping out with their holiday Bible club, as they helped out with ours, please speak with me for more information. But their holiday Bible club goes this week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 10 to 12 p.m. over in Kintore Parish Church. And any help is sure to be warmly appreciated. Are there any other intimations to share at the start of our time together with our church family? With those shared then, let us enter into worship through the wonderful gift of music by singing together our first song of praise, I Am a New Creation. And during the singing of this song, our offerings for God's continued work here in Kemeny and beyond will be uplifted.
Thank you. Let us bring our worship before God. Let us pray together. Lord, we praise you that we stand in the righteousness of Jesus. We praise you that we are here because you have given us your salvation. We just marvel at your love, that you can love people like us and make us your children. And Lord, we thank you that we do call you Father, and that you know each one of us through and through. Lord, you know what we are thinking. You know all the fears, the worries, the upsets, the hopes, the joys, the pleasures that we have experienced over this week, and that we are concerned about or looking forward to today. Lord, we thank you that we come to you, our refuge. We thank you that you minister to us, that you will give us your peace, you give us your joy. Lord, fill us with your Spirit that we might come closer to you and closer to one another as well in you. And Lord, may we pray that as you speak to us today through the message that Joshua brings us, that Lord, we will just know your presence and leave this place trusting you and looking forward to your way being worked out in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for being able to bring our offerings to you. And we ask that you will use them to glorify your kingdom and extend your kingdom here in Kemnay. And Lord, we praise you that you have said that we should always come to you, that we should lift our hearts to you and know that you are close to us. And Lord, we thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you, David. We continue now with worship together by singing our next song of praise, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
Have a praise band / chamber singers over here as well. So, well done indeed.
If we could get all the kids to come up front, that would be excellent. And Katie can come front this week too. Excellent. Now, if I remember right, and I'm pretty sure I do, all four of you were somewhere pretty special this last week, right? Where were all of you at? Holiday Club, exactly. And we had some pretty fun times there, and we learned some pretty fun songs, right? Yes, okay. Later, you're going to get to see an encore performance of one of our songs. But before we get to that, a few of you have also been on some holidays in the last couple weeks, right? Rona Finley, where have you been?
France.
You've been in France. And did you take someone special along with you to France? Maybe he's flat. And on paper? Yeah. Who was it?
Flat Jesus.
Flat Jesus, yes. What if we show some of these photos? And I'm pretty sure you two are in a few from the Word and whatnot. Josh, would you please show a few? This one is, where'd it go? Excellent. Where are either of you, or I guess your sister, at this one?
At the Word,
yes. This is down at the football cage we've had during Mission Week. Rona, where were you here, Rona?
Somewhere in France.
Somewhere in France. Excellent. There's the Word. We had some pretty heated badminton tournaments,
yes.
Didn't we? Yes, we did. I won.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
That's not how I remember
it. This one comes from a very special person who sent an email. Ian, where are you with this? Okay, excellent. So, yes, Flat Jesus can also go to work with you. Is Irene here today? I don't think so. This is Irene's granddaughter, and this is in Italy. Oh, there you are. So obviously Jesus can go with you anywhere. He's really easy to pack along, and you know you're at your handbag or or anywhere else. I think that's Copenhagen. If I, yeah. Same thing. Excellent. So this is where we have brought Jesus all of this summer. But while we have everybody's attention, shall we sing our lighthouse song and do all of the motions to it? Yes. Should we pick any of our lovely helpers from the week to come up and help us? All of them? All of them? If anybody would like to come up that was helping at Holiday Club and do the hand motions to our song, you are more than welcome to come up. If you would rather not, that's okay too. I never learned the hand motions, so you should probably look at them. But we are going to sing the lighthouse song, right?
Kathy, this will be the video of the presenter.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yay!
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk. In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In the questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. To shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't feel what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are my light, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me.
Follow that. Our readings today, our first reading from the Old Testament is Psalm 34, and you'll find that on page 561 of your Bibles. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. And the second reading is from the New Testament, and to be found in Matthew chapter 5, page 968, the Beatitudes. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Excuse me. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Bless to us this reading, these readings from his holy word.
Fount. Whoa, sorry. Come Thou Fount, which also happens to be one of my favorite songs. I it could be because of the language. I've always loved language, and the wording in this song is just so beautiful. But I think the real reason that I've always loved it is because the whole song is a prayer. It asks for help in the midst of times when you don't have it all together, and it asks to be able to sing God's praises. So
That's the song we're singing today. It's a little bit of why I like it. If you're able, please stand and we'll sing this song together. This sermon. Will you teach all of us to sing with loudest praise? May it be so. It is on. Okay, now we're all good. This microphone system always gives me issues. I am not very good at working it. Okay, excellent. On a windy hill, all alone, with nothing to be friends with, lived something else. He knew that's what he was because everyone said so. If he tried to sit down with them, or walk with them, or join in their games, they always said, "Sorry, you're not one of us. You're something else. You don't belong." Something else did his best to be like the others. He smiled and said, "Hi," like they did. He painted pictures. He played their games when they let him. He brought his lunch in a paper bag, just like theirs. It was no good. He didn't look like them or talk like them. He didn't see things they saw. He didn't play the way they played. And as for his packed lunches, "You don't belong here," they said. "You're not like us. You're something else." Something else went home. While he was getting ready for bed, there was a knock on the door. S- something was standing on the doorstep. "Hi there," it said. "Great to meet you. Can I come in?" "Excuse me," said something else. "You're welcome," said the creature. It stuck out a paw, or maybe a flipper. Something else looked at the paw. "I think you've come to the wrong place," he said. The creature shook its head. "No, I haven't. This place is perfect. Look." And before something else realized what was happening, it walked right in and sat down on his supper. "Do I know you?" asked something else, puzzled. "Know me?" the creature laughed. "Of course you do. Take a good look. Go on." Something else looked. He walked around the creature from front to back, or back to front. He didn't really know which. He didn't know what to say, so he didn't say anything. "Don't you see?" the creature cried. "I'm just like you. You're something else, and I'm one too." It stuck out its paw again and smiled. Something else was too surprised to smile back. He didn't take the paw either. "Like me," he said. "You're not like me. In fact, you're not like anything I've ever seen." "I'm sorry, but you're definitely not my sort of something else." He walked to the door and opened it. "Good night." The creature put down its paw slowly. "Oh," it said. It looked sadder and smaller. It reminded something else of something, but he couldn't quite think what. While he was trying to remember, the creature left. Then something else remembered. "Wait," he cried, "don't go." He ran after the creature as fast as he could. When he caught up, he grabbed its paw and held on tight. "You're not like me, but I don't mind. You can stay with me if you'd like to." And the creature did. From then on, something else had something to be friends with. They smiled and said hi to each other. They painted pictures. They played each other's games, or tried to. They ate their lunches side by side. They were different, but they got along. And when something turned up that really was weird looking, they didn't say he wasn't like them and he didn't belong there. They moved right up and made room for him too. The end. Now, something else desperately wanted to fit in. He wanted to dress like them, eat like them, play their games, be exactly like them. But there was something fundamentally different about how he acted. And because of that, something else was constantly left out, made fun of, isolated. And I think the Beatitudes are a lot like this. There's something about them that makes us fundamentally different from the rest of the world. They're not values that the rest of the world holds. And like everything else the world deems as different, these values are shunned. The people that hold these values are shunned. Our text for today says something exactly like this. You will be persecuted because you're different. But it goes further than that. Shall we take a look at it? Whether you say yes or not, we're going to. This is the last sentence of the Beatitudes. It's the last few words that Jesus is going to say on the blessed life. And in typical Jesus fashion, when we first encounter it, it seems illogical, like it doesn't quite make sense. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Blessed, Makarios, or be happy, as we've learned, doesn't seem to fit with persecution. Doesn't seem to fit with being insulted or having bad things said about you. And I'm just imagining the emotional and the physical pain of persecution, and Jesus' next words definitely don't make sense. Rejoice and be glad. But as Josh unpacked for us last week, persecution is grounds for rejoicing. In Acts 5:41, after the apostles are beaten by the Sanhedrin, they leave rejoicing. They have been found worthy of persecution for the sake of Christ. Suffering for Christ, then, becomes a really high honor. Indeed, the very first time Jesus speaks about himself in the Beatitudes is in this verse, when he blesses those who are persecuted because of him. Suddenly, these philosophical, removed ideas that the first eight Beatitudes talk about become personal. For the first time, Jesus addresses his disciples. Blessed are you. For the first time, Jesus talks about himself when we're persecuted because of him. They are no longer ideals for virtuous behavior, but integral aspects to how we personally relate to Jesus. And those aspects have been there the whole time. We just haven't seen them. I wonder if we've noticed before that the Beatitudes use almost all of our five senses: touch, taste, sight, smell, heart. Go ahead, take a look in your texts now. Jesus engages our sight when he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Jesus engages our ears when he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." We will be proclaimed children of God, and we'll hear that with our ears. Jesus engages our physical perceptions of touch, of pain, of pleasure, when he says, "Blessed are the persecuted for who feel pain, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Jesus engages our taste, most poignantly, when he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And Jesus engages our sixth sense, our emotions, our heart, when he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, who are poor in spirit, who are meek, who are merciful." Our hearts and how we feel are important to God. Touch, sight, taste, hearing, heart. Jesus asks us to respond to him with every part of our bodies. In effect, he's calling us to full-bodied discipleship. I wonder if this has dawned on us before. It's new for me. Jesus doesn't just want us to speak what we believe, but he asks for our tasting tongues, our feeling hands, our seeing eyes, our hearing ears, and our feeling hearts. The Beatitudes call our entire person, how we experience the world through touch, taste, sight, hearing, heart, and calls us into a life of full-bodied discipleship. As the psalmist writes in our other reading for today, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." This is another command that God uses us to use our senses. In the midst of persecution, pain, and turmoil, the psalmist praises the Lord, recounting God's faithfulness, and cries out, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And get this, right after this command to taste and see God's goodness, the psalmist says, "Blessed," there's that word again, "is the one who takes refuge in him." God's pronouncement over discipleship is intimately woven in with our senses. You see, being full-bodied disciples means we taste and see his goodness. Tasting and seeing his goodness means that we are full-bodied disciples. Blessed are we then when we are full-bodied disciples, responding to him as the Beatitudes command. Further on in our text, Jesus references a group of people who do exactly this, be full-bodied disciples, the prophets. The prophets, long before us, were persecuted for the message they brought. And this ends up being encouragement for us today. Elijah, if we can remember, built an altar with his hands, drenched it in water, and then prayed for the Lord to set fire to it to show that the Lord is God. And then, as a result, the queen's armies come tracking him down. She's upset that Elijah is talking about a different God. Ezekiel is another prophet. He's given a scroll to put in his mouth to taste. At first, it's sweet and it tastes good, but it turns sour in his stomach. Being a disciple isn't easy. It's not always sweet. Sometimes it's hard and it's sour. Stephen, one of the very first Christians, when speaking to people who were antagonistic to Christianity, said, "Was there ever a prophet that your fathers did not persecute?" Those listening were so angry, they stoned him to death. This is the prophetic pattern. The prophets heard the word of God, spoke it so that others could hear it, and often what happened is they were persecuted for it. But the prophets also show us that our response to God means using our voices to speak, hands to build, tongues to taste the good news. The prophets experienced God and gave God every part of their being so that discipleship became a full-bodied act of worship. The prophets lived differently. They spoke differently. The kind of different that was uncomfortable to the surrounding people, because it called them to a higher kind of living. It called them to give up their idols, to behave in honest, good, virtuous ways, to worship the one true God. It was utterly counterintuitive to yearn for what God wanted. And we're prophets too. And just like their life was counterintuitive, it is utterly counterintuitive for us to yearn for what the Beatitudes command. Thinking back to our opening story, each of us is like something else. We all have a choice to make. Will we mold ourselves into what the world wants? Something else tried for a while. His tie matched, but it was crooked and rumpled. His lunch came in the exact same brown paper bag, but as we saw, it was green slime. And he even tried to turn away something, the creature that was most like him, because something was different. We all have choices with how we're going to use our bodies, our senses. We can look the same as everybody else. We can satiate our hunger and thirst with fleeting bites of fullness. We can let the voices that tell us to seek more power become our guiding voices. In essence, we can become part of the crowd. Or we can choose to live as full-bodied, committed disciples of Jesus. We can decide to be other by being poor in spirit, mournful, meek, hungry, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, and persecuted. Jesus calls us to be full-bodied disciples, or gospelized people, as we've said, who dedicate themselves to following Christ. And we're a part of a community that calls itself different, that calls itself something else. And there's a long history of our people being different, like the prophets we spoke of earlier. And just like when something else found something, we have one another on this path of full-bodied discipleship. And when we choose to devote ourselves, our full selves, to the Lord, we will taste and we will see that the Lord is very, very good. Amen.
Thank you, Kylie. We continue now in worship together with singing our next song of praise, How Lovely Is Your Dwelling Place.
Thank you. I was looking through my diary recently, and I noticed that today is designated International Youth Day. I'm using that focus in some of my prayer this morning. Loving God, it must be right as Christians that we should be mindful of the children and the young people in our community, not just for their physical well-being, but also that they be nurtured on a sound foundation of your good news, so that in time they may make their own decision to follow Jesus. As we heard in the psalm, taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, we give thanks for all the summer activities that have been held for our young people here and elsewhere. We give thanks for the Youth for Christ team. We give thanks for Scripture Union, who have held camps in various places. And Lord, especially we pray for our leaders and their helpers who are going forward with plans to make youth ministry a priority. The designation of this day as international helps to remind us and to make us aware of the millions of children and young people who do not have the same care. They do not have the same safety. They do not even have the same start to life. They do not have the same health and education facilities or opportunities. Lord, refugee camps across the world are bursting with them in every country in the Middle East, and reminded again of the Mohindra community in Bangladesh and the heart-rending situation in Yemen. Again this week, when an airstrike targeted a school bus, killing and injuring more than 30 innocent children. Lord, how can this be? How can this go on? How does it make sense this week for one side in the Holy Land to launch over 30 rockets and for the other side to respond with even more? When will they come to see the futility of such actions? Lord, we pray urgently that all political leaders will make peace, reconciliation, and restoration their priority for the sake of all, and take up the challenge the psalmist says, seek peace and pursue it. Lord, may we not forget those that are personally known to us with their needs. May we keep them on our hearts, in our prayers, and reach out to them. And we take a moment in silence to name them for you. For ourselves, Lord, may we take up the challenge that Kylie has directed us to at the end of the Beatitudes. And may we take up the refrain from that song that we just sang, I will draw near to you. Every prayer we make and all our prayers today we offer in the name of Jesus, who commands, let the children come to me. Amen.
Thank you, Leslie. We now sing our closing song of praise together, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
God, from whom all blessings flow. May we choose to respond to him today and every day with every ounce of our being in full-bodied discipleship. Go with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.